Hello, and welcome to Federal Highway Administration's, or FHWA's, R&T Now Interchanges. The host of today's audiocast is Craig Thor. Craig serves as the chief scientist in FHWA's Office of Research, Development, and Technology. Please welcome Craig Thor.
Thanks. I am looking forward to another really thoughtful conversation today, delving into the world of transportation research, and particularly how we use virtual reality to help us solve some of our transportation safety problems around vulnerable road users. Joining us here today is someone who knows a lot about virtual reality and vulnerable road user safety, Dr. Brian Phillips. He serves as the Human Factors R&D Team Leader in the Office of Safety and Operations R&D. He has been with Federal Highway since 2011 and has over 20 years of human factors research experience. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk to you today, Brian. So before we get too deep into our conversation about some of the work that we're doing around virtual reality, I think it's helpful for the listeners if we can define some of the terms that we'll be using throughout our conversation. Can you tell us a little bit more about who these vulnerable road users are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. In a nutshell, vulnerable road users include all road users who are not in a motorized vehicle, like cars or trucks, except for motorcyclists. So that would include people walking, cycling, using mobility aids such as wheelchairs, or using micromobility devices like scooters and skateboards.
Great. So for further clarification, we've defined vulnerable road users, but we're also talking about virtual reality. And when I think about virtual reality, I think about growing up as a kid, and this was the future of gaming and this new world that we were going to live in the future. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is virtual reality as a research tool. So can you tell us a little bit more about what VR is, and then maybe a little bit about how we're going to use it for vulnerable road user safety?
Absolutely. Virtual reality, or VR, is a computer-generated 3D environment that simulates reality and allows users to be experienced in this environment and interact with it in real time. VR uses special equipment like headsets, gloves, sensors, and computers to create this immersive experience. And that's exactly what we're doing, using VR to study vulnerable road user safety.
Great. And then so kind of my last level setting question is about human factors research more generally. We're talking about vulnerable road user safety and how people interact with the environment. So we're talking about people, right? Which I think is what human factors research is all about. It's somewhat different than some of the other research areas within Federal Highways, where we usually have civil engineers or transportation planners and some of these other disciplines who are looking at some of these important transportation issues. Can you explain to us what makes human factors unique and why it's a very important line of research for us at Federal Highways?
Sure. Human factors is an interdisciplinary area of research that applies what we know about people's mental and physical capabilities to better design environments in which they function. So the goal of human factors is to maximize performance and safety by creating products, systems, and environments that complement human capabilities. So with our human factors research, we try to create the product to fit the human rather than trying to change the human to fit the product. So over about the last 10 years, our interest in vulnerable road user safety research has grown steadily as the number of fatalities and injuries for vulnerable road users have steadily risen as well. So with this increasing safety issue, it's important to understand the conditions and behaviors that led to these fatalities and injuries. Virtual reality allows us to recreate these unique situations in a safe and controllable environment to help design ways to prevent them.
Great. Thank you, Brian. I think that really helps us put the scale of the problem into context for the listener. And I think many of our listeners will be surprised to hear how much of an issue vulnerable road user safety really is, and in particular, that it's actually a growing problem, which, of course, is one of the reasons why the work that you're doing is so important and why we've made it such a priority at Federal Highways and within the department. Can you explain a little bit about what are the factors that are causing this increase in vulnerable road user safety issues?
Absolutely. The greater concern for vulnerable road user safety comes from the fact that more people are moving to cities, and that increases density and the number of vulnerable road users and the number of conflicts between motor vehicles and vulnerable road users. Roadways are not designed to support all road users, and therefore vehicles often travel at higher speeds, creating a higher risk of more serious crashes. This issue is made worse by vehicle size and design, with car manufacturers constantly designing and building bigger cars and trucks that are more likely to inflict a serious or fatal injury when hitting a vulnerable road user.
Thank you for describing that to us, Brian. I think that's very helpful. I think what's interesting, though, is you just described a lot of real-world issues. Speed, vehicle size, human behavior, all of those things. But when we talk about virtual reality, we're talking of something that's virtual, not in the real world. So I think it's going to be really interesting to dive into this VR space and how does this help us understand the real world by working in the virtual world. So can you start by just giving us a history of how we got started in the virtual reality space as a research tool at Turner Fairbank?
Sure. Well, interestingly, the virtual reality lab started out with a summer intern investigating virtual reality technology to see how it could be applied to human behavior and roadway safety. As we experimented around with the simulation technology, we saw that it had actually a lot of promise for doing empirical safety research with pedestrians and bicyclists at a very reasonable cost. And part of this was the gaming industry has improved the VR technology quite a bit and driven down the cost and weight of virtual reality headsets while simultaneously improving the resolution, realism, and degree of immersion produced by these headsets. So during the pandemic, we moved our virtual reality lab from a very small room to a large conference room, and we nearly tripled our size that we had to work with.
So you mentioned virtual reality tools, as in you had multiple tools. Can you explain to us what those tools are, and do they have different purposes, and how do you use them in different contexts?
Sure. Our virtual reality lab has basically four different tools for conducting research: two for pedestrians, one for cyclists, and one for drivers. For our two virtual reality pedestrian tools, we have a two-lane marked roadway and an omnidirectional treadmill. So the marked roadway is in the middle of our space, and it's a full two-lane road with sidewalks that allows participants to walk unobstructed and cross as they would in the real world. This exact one-to-one scaling is really considered the gold standard for virtual reality simulation. And the omnidirectional treadmill is a perfect alternative since it allows participants to walk endlessly, allowing for a more immersive, flexible, and uninterrupted experience in a much less constrained space. Our virtual reality bike was recently upgraded and now allows for various sized bike frames to better accommodate the range of participants we get. Our virtual reality driving simulator, which we call the VR Driver, is currently being overhauled to improve the overall simulator quality and graphics. Using these different virtual reality tools, we're able to simulate different roadways and scenarios and include other road users to interact and provide potential conflicts that the participant has to respond to.
Great. Thanks, Brian. And we'll include a link in the R&T Now Interchanges page, too, so the audience can learn more about what's happening in the laboratory. So diving a little bit deeper into the virtual reality as a tool, so what are the advantages that you see as virtual reality and immersive technology versus some of the other tools that we use for human factors research?
As you can imagine, we can't go out into the field and intentionally place participants in high-risk situations where they might get hurt or even worse. So using VR gives us greater control. We can develop experiments and manipulate conditions to expose participants to vehicles, weather, roadway design, and other scenarios. It also allows us to test out technologies and systems that don't exist yet to see what type of impact they may have and develop new safety countermeasures and systems.
So that's really interesting, that last part you were just talking about there, this non-existing systems type of research. So we can develop virtual systems that we can then test out and see how they work in the real world. I think that that's very interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about some of that type of work?
Sure. We've recently wrapped up a study looking at how an intersection safety system could be used to potentially alert pedestrians to a potential conflict with a vehicle.
So that sounds very similar to the USDOT Intersection Safety Challenge. Are these things related? And if so, can you tell us a little bit more about that study?
Yes. For those listening who aren't familiar, The U.S. DOT launched the Intersection Safety Challenge program in response to growing concerns regarding the safety of vulnerable road users at intersections. The program aims to transform intersection safety through the innovative application of emerging technologies, including things like machine vision, sensor fusion, and real-time decision-making to identify and mitigate unsafe conditions involving vehicles and vulnerable road users. One relative unknown was how these intersection safety systems intervene to keep road users safe. The goal of the study was to see how pedestrians would respond to a highly urgent auditory and visual warning that they were in direct conflict with a vehicle. It's unclear how pedestrians may respond to such highly urgent warnings while crossing a roadway, so this study will answer that question in a safe manner.
That sounds really interesting, and obviously a really unique way to apply some of these tools in a virtual way. Are there any other studies that you've completed using the VR lab?
Yeah, there actually are. The first study we completed using our old virtual reality bike was part of a small business innovation research project and looked at connected bike alerting technology. The system looked at how people reacted to different kinds of warning alerts while riding a bicycle. Participants rode through a simulated urban environment where they encountered hazards such as potholes and potential conflicts or crashes with vehicles. By using virtual reality, we collected data on participants' reactions to the alerts in a safe environment. This study showed how either haptic or auditory cues helped bicyclists identify and react to imminent roadway hazards.
So I think both those experiments that you've talked about, both the intersection safety challenge as well as the VR bike study, show how this really expands our capability to do research in a virtual environment in a safe way that we didn't have access to before. So knowing that we have these new capabilities now, what other types of experiments are you thinking about for the future?
Yes, so we're currently thinking of a few different potential studies. One interest is to look at how bicyclists interact with conventional and automated vehicles in various roundabouts, ones with shared bike lanes or a dedicated bike lane. Additionally, we could build upon the results of the previously mentioned pedestrian study to see how bicyclists respond to such a system.
Very interesting. And about the lab itself, do you have ideas or thoughts about how you could continue to improve the lab or invest in our capabilities in the VR space?
Sure. Like most laboratories, we're constantly striving to ensure that we stay on the cutting edge of research tools. This includes making sure we're staying up to date on the various VR headsets as they continue to expand and improve their capabilities. Additionally, the use of e-bikes continues to rise. So we're looking at how we could include e-bikes in our virtual reality bike simulator. Lastly, one goal we have in mind for our VR tools is to connect them all together and allow for a shared simulation.
So that last part is the part that I find really interesting about VR technology and simulators in general, is this idea that we can connect these different tools together, and that really opens up a lot of the research opportunities at Federal Highways. So would it be possible to connect the virtual reality tools to other research systems to really expand our research capabilities even further? And what do you see as the opportunities that exist with that type of approach?
Sure. Connecting our various simulators together would allow people to act as pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers, and interact in one shared virtual world more naturally and realistically than having, for example, a pedestrian interact with a computer-generated bicyclist and drivers. By creating a more natural and realistic way for vulnerable road users to interact with drivers, we bring the research just a little bit closer to field research settings, but with a higher level of safety and experimental control. This type of multimodal connected simulation will also be helpful to investigate the interaction of vulnerable road users with connected and automated vehicles.
I find that very exciting. I think the ability to connect these different simulators together to create this new virtual space where we can try out new tools that haven't been invented yet, put people in safe conditions, but try out some of these very serious safety concerns in the real world in a virtual space, I think is really, really exciting. So before we finish up today, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about this program and some of the other exciting things that you have planned?
Thanks, Craig. I'll just end by saying that I'm really pleased with the development of our Vulnerable Road User Research Program and how VR has been a critical part of the evolution of our Vulnerable Road User Research Roadmap and our research activities here at the Turner Fairbank Highway Research Center. We hope to find solutions that will continue to help vulnerable road users stay safe on our roads and sidewalks. Our studies are paving the way for the transportation solutions of tomorrow.
That was great. Thanks, Brian. It was great to talk to you today about the VR lab and how your team is helping to address some of the common transportation issues associated with vulnerable road user safety. That's all the time we have for now. Thanks for tuning into this episode of R&T Now Interchanges.
Thanks, and we'll be back soon. Want to see a topic covered in a future episode? Please send an email to fhwa-now@dot.gov. To download new episodes of our conversations, go to our R&T Now Interchanges webpage. Take care, everyone. Until next time.